This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's an expression, I know. We are. We're going to roll in a couple of different places as we unfold the beginning of this show. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to it. Remember, you can always reach out and touch me, so to speak, 24-7, calorie-free. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. The mailbag is always flooded. I love my virtual mail. You can always sound off there. We have some interesting things coming up in the next couple of weeks, some deeper dives on a couple of really buzzworthy, I'll call them, topics like cybersecurity. How easy is it to have someone rip off anything connected to you and your life on the internet and in other areas of your life, too? And what about these big corporations? Is enough being done? And what needs to really, really happen to shake things up? So right here from the top, G7 is part of the conversation. It's the big time meeting, of course, meeting of the minds, if you will. And the beginning started with Biden and Boris, our president meeting with the prime minister of the UK. Apparently, one of the things that was discussed was Northern Ireland and then a slew of other things. The this is just the beginning of what I'll call the show. After Boris, and by Sunday, there will be a tea with the Queen. I wonder what that conversation is going to be like. But in all seriousness, in between, there is a conversation about the meeting with Putin at the end of this thing and what that's going to look like, because there is a long list of grievances the United States has when it comes to Russia, and that goes to the whole cyber hacking thing, meddling in elections, and messing around with Iran and a satellite that is pretty much aimed at everything Israel. So you can just bet that this will be an absolute focus point for this president. So with Boris, they which is really wild. So Biden and the world leaders that are there are on an English beach, or they were, during the G7 summit. They're going to be there. The leaders are going to sit around fire pits on the beach, toast marshmallows, and be serenaded. That's what's happening. It is. It's flip-flops, I guess, or I don't know. You wear your nice dress shoes and your tie. But, you know, there is tension between the United States and the UK, and there's tension between Biden and Boris. But Biden and other world leaders are going to be in Cornwall this week for the G7 summit. In all seriousness, once again, as I try to be serious, it's the first in-person gathering of world leaders in almost 2 years because we've had the coronavirus pandemic. The big tussle, I think, is going to be about Brexit, and that's between the UK Prime Minister and our President. But you're going to also have French President Emmanuel Macron, the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who won't be happy about the Keystone XL pipeline, which was canceled because they put a lot of dough into that. It was going from Alberta, Canada, all the way down to the Gulf Coast. I wonder if that comes up. You also have the German Chancellor, who will be involved in this, naturally. And they start on Friday, and it goes through the weekend, of course. And you know, the menus have been released, which is crazy because I want to know what the real topics that are off the menu are that are going to be discussed? And does anything of substance come out of this summit? I think it's about where keeping perhaps your enemies closer and your allies an eye on what they're doing, and ultimately looking at the world we live in now, whether we like it or not, or you do like it, is it's a global world. And the pandemic really threw us into this because, and even before that, because we look at what's happening in Australia and the UK and other parts of the world, and we are all interconnected. You look at travel before the pandemic and was wide open. And now you wonder, is there going to be vaccine requirements for travel to certain places? There are some places that it's being dissuaded to travel to. So actually there's a lot, I believe, that could come out of it. Not necessarily with serious teeth, not necessarily anything that is going to shake up something in the United States, but there is a certain maintenance that you have to do when you're the president, and you have to have your allies, you do. And then you have to know or get a sense of and look your enemy in the eye, and that's important. And again, that goes to the end of the week and Russia, because of the lack of accountability for what's happened between Russia and the United States on a couple of very, very important issues that do affect all of us. Once again, a shopping center was disrupted by gunfire. Specifically, we're talking about a supermarket, but everybody was running, apparently, because now more details are coming out of this. A man killed a woman and a child at a Florida Public supermarket in Royal Palm Beach, Florida. And it happened, on Thursday. It was the boy would have been 2 years old, apparently. And police believe the shooter and the victim's woman and her grandson, that they knew each other. There no names have been released at this point, and there's still a lot they have to know. But it wasn't an active shooter situation. But imagine you're in this Publix, and this happens. And so when the chaos erupted, what was the screaming? There were people screaming in the supermarket. They're shooting, run, they're shooting, and people shoving each other to get away from the deli, to slide out of the front doors. People crying, people running. And luckily, the sheriff's office arriving pretty quickly, but like that, the people, they found them dead. It wasn't an active shooting situation, like I said. I mean, this is all too horrific and going on way too much that you have to look over your shoulder when you go and you shop. I've said this before, there should be areas that are sacrosanct, and they're not anymore, whether that's church, work, shopping, children at schools. But yeah, it's just crazy. And customers were freaked because of what we saw happen in Colorado. So, not a mass shooting, but a scary, scary, scary situation for those people in that Publix in South Florida. Coming up, mic drop.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits of some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Naked bike riding and the game of golf have in common? Nothing. It's just what I'm talking about for my mic drop. I couldn't decide, so I'm going to let you decide. Tell me what you think. You can send me either you like the bike ride as the official mic drop for this, or you liked the golf story I'm going to tell you about. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com, and randomly I will select a winner and send you 5 of my books. I hope somebody guesses. Does anyone want 5 free books? All right, so the Philly Naked Bike Ride. I've heard about this because my family, I'm from the Philadelphia area, my family lives there, and I thought it was a joke when my cousin told me about this, but the pandemic, of course, shut down the bike ride. It's an annual deal, and the reason they started was it's supposed to make you feel like you have your body image, improve your body image. You go 10 miles, and the aim of the event is to promote body images and love for cycling, and no matter what you're wearing or not wearing, there is one requirement. Masks are required during the ride. Even though Philly's mandate was lifted for those that are fully vaccinated and outside. So, I don't know, could you do that? It's August 28th, and you can wear as much or little as you want. It's really the majority ride nude, and it really isn't legal, but they haven't had issues with the police. I guess they just allow this one exception, and the route is pretty interesting. You pass by Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, the Philadelphia Museum of Art, where, of course, the Rocky movies were featured, if you remember that. It takes 3 hours to complete it, and it's part of a larger organization called World Naked Bike Ride. And people have biked naked in New Zealand, Argentina, Japan, Canada, and a dozen other countries. So, people wear hats and glasses and other things, but, mostly they they ride naked. It's free. Well, that's a good news. You don't have to pay to ride naked. And you don't have to register. You just show up. And they say it's recommended that you wrap something soft around your seat, like a T-shirt or a bandana, especially if you rent a bike. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. How does this thing survive? But it does. It's supposed to promote, again, a healthy body image. How many people listening to this right now, how many of you really would do that? I just am curious. I don't care what shape I was in. I mean, seriously. And I love that people are free to do this and do it, and they do get a lot of people. And I also think it's more men than women. It could be wrong, but I've seen some of the images, and it's mostly men. But, boy, you know, if you feel confident and you're doing that and you're proving that point, good for you. I'm all for each his own. Just wrap up the seat if you rent. How about a Swiss golfer? So that's a mic drop. Come on. That's a mic drop. How about a Swiss golfer, Randegger? He's got a place in the Guinness Book of World Records. He played 252 holes in 12 hours in Switzerland on May 21st. He loves golf, and he wanted to bring awareness to Special Olympics, and that's part of the reason why he did it. He played the entire course on foot 14 times in 12 hours to set the record, because golf cart is banned for doing this. You can't get in the book if you do that. So to do this, I mean, you have to run, because you'd have to be fast enough. He ran 57.8 miles. He took 1,348 strokes. He lost 8 balls, had 5 birdies, and he did this with pretty much a 7 iron. He broke the official record by 31 holes that unofficially was held by former Major League Baseball player Eric Burns, who walked 245 holes in 12 hours or less at Half Moon Bay in San Francisco, California, in April of 2019. Ugh. You know, the most that I've played two rounds of golf in Palm Springs. There's people listening to us in Palm Springs, and I've played so many of those courses. And I want to say it's a pretty well-known course, a famous course. It's PGA West, and it's pretty tough. And I played it twice. I was exhausted. I was in good shape. I was drained. I mean, they practically had to pour me into the car after it. and I had a car, by the way. So it was hot that day, but I can't imagine doing that. So bravo, mic drop. That's another mic drop. Come on. So the naked bike riding, or the dude that set the Guinness World Record with 252 golf holes in 12 hours. Yeah, which is the better official mic drop for the show on the record? I mean, I'll come back and say it coming back next week, but it might be the Philly bike ride. But that's been around, so I don't know. The new record is pretty... It's pretty intriguing, too. How about this? I mean, you got to love a kid who's willing to do this. So, Bryson Kleeman, who's 8 years old, has been collecting Pokemon cards since his dad introduced him to trading cards when he was 4 years old. He's got just hundreds in his collection. They're stored in locked boxes. This is how serious it is. Binders for Christmas and birthdays and everything. You know, that was his thing. He got them. That's his most prized possession. So 8 years old. But he decided to sell his cards to save his dog's life. And what happened was he wanted a dog for years, and he would cry apparently when he left the local animal shelter after a visit. So in March, a friend's dog had puppies, and he adopted Bruce, a 4-year-old black lab mix. So Bruce and Bryson were pretty much inseparable, right? Doing everything together, doing all the stuff together. And what happens is suddenly, you know, he gets sick, and what is he going to do? He was diagnosed with parvo, which is a contagious virus that can be deadly if left untreated. And he'd have to have these vaccines, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it added up. The veterinarians said it would was going to cost $655 for the first 3 days of the treatment, and said it could be more needed, including thousands of dollars to keep him at the animal hospital overnight for up to a week. The family couldn't afford it. So the little boy wakes up, says to his mom, "I don't want him to die. I'm going to pray that he doesn't die. And then, go ahead and sell the Pokemon cards. I'm going to sell the collection to save the puppy." So they figured it out, and, you know, they had a table in the front yard with a wooden sign, Pokemon for sale. And how cool is that? Neighbors showed up, and they were thinking he was just selling his cards for extra pocket money. When they found out what it was for, the word spread. Then a few neighbors spread it to other neighbors. And then before you know it, it showed up on the local Facebook group, and hoping that more neighbors would come by. And the page said, "Just a boy trying to save his dog." And before you know it, donations were pouring in. He was selling the cards for 5, 10 more. And he collected 400 in only 2 afternoons. And it just kept increasing. And then they started a GoFundMe page, and that's raised enough money, close to $20,000. So there you go. I love it. I love that the kid didn't hesitate. Dog or my Pokemon cards that are in my special locked box or in my binders, there's no question. If the vet says that we got to pay to save him because of parvo, then whatever it takes. And I love that the neighbors, this is the power of community, see what's happening and realize, oh, this isn't, he doesn't even make a big deal about it. He just goes to sell them. And then when they realize what's going on, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then he gets plenty of money to save this dog. And, you know, this the vet stays add up. I can attest to that. And parvo is one of those things, too, where you may have to stay for a while. And a lot of dogs don't survive. It depends on the breed. It depends on a couple of other factors, too. So way to go. Sweet. Bryce is back to normal. Is excited and happy, and so is the 8-year-old Bryson. Good deal. I like it. Numbers next.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Finally, some progress on Capitol Hill with infrastructure. Republican Senator from Maine, Susan Collins.
Among the 10 of us, there is a tentative agreement on a framework, but obviously there's a long ways to go.
A bipartisan group has struck a tentative deal on the infrastructure package in Washington. Republican Senators Cassidy, Collins, Murkowski, Portman, and Romney have joined together with five Democrats to announce they've made a compromise deal to rebuild the nation's roads, bridges, and energy systems. They said it would be fully paid for without raising taxes. Both houses would have to approve it, and the president would have to sign it. Even though the president is in England, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said he's watching what's going on.
He'll stay very engaged in this, even as he's on his first overseas trip.
This is USA Radio News. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says he wants to find out more after a New York Times report revealed former President Trump's Justice Department subpoenaed Apple for the metadata of at least two members of that committee, as well as aides and family members, one of which was a minor. The Department of Justice was trying to find the leaks during the Russia investigation. Adam Schiff is calling for an inspector general to investigate. In a statement, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the news about the politicization of the Trump administration Justice Department is harrowing. Governor Greg Abbott announced that Texas will be building a border wall along the state's boundary with Mexico, but he provided no details on how, where, or when. Abbott declared the plans during a press conference in Del Rio. He said he would discuss the plans next week. The Biden administration issued a proclamation that stopped border wall construction on his first day of office. You're listening to USA Radio News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Count. How about this? Home equity grows by like $2 trillion in the first quarter. That's crazy. Jeffrey Toobin is back at CNN 8 months after exposing himself on Zoom. Remember, there have been so many crazy things that happened on Zoom, and that was a huge story. There's a nun that admitted to stealing over $800,000-plus from her school to help finance her gambling habit. Yikes. That's what the feds are saying. We'll give you the deets on that. And some other things that will be mixed in between. First, here's a sad number. Two people are dead after a shooting at Publix in Florida. The shooter is also dead. This happened in Palm Beach County, and it was tweeted out because this is how sheriff's departments and police nowadays let you know what's happened. And they said they arrived at the scene to find the three people dead. It was a man, a woman, and a child. So it wasn't an active situation, and very sad. You know, Publix, what are they going to do? They confirmed the shooting, and they put out a statement saying our thoughts are with those that are impacted by the tragedy. And, of course, they're cooperating and giving whatever any information they can. But it's an active investigation, and there's very little details about it. It was in a nice area in, and like I said, Royal Palm Beach in Florida, and it happened on Thursday, and not an active shooting though. So that's at least that's good, because now when you think open spaces and grocery stores because of what happened in Colorado, immediately you're wondering if people were taking cover, and was this an axe to grind ex-employee? Was this somebody who just randomly decided to go into
into a supermarket, but obviously there's probably some connection here because of the fact that it was a man, a woman, and a child. But I don't know that. They're still looking into it, and its info on that one is pretty tight. Jeffrey Toobin, boy, what humiliation for this guy. Brilliant brain when it comes to politics, and has been in the game for a long time, so to speak. But he's back on the air on CNN as the network's chief legal analyst, and he did expose himself during a Zoom call with his colleagues at the New Yorker, no less. He was interviewed by an anchor on CNN, CNN newsroom, about the incident and recent legal news, and she said, "I think we should address what happened in the months since we've seen you." And she summarized the situation, because that would be an awkward conversation, wouldn't it? To say, to quote Jay Leno, "What the hell were you thinking?" And he described himself as a flawed human being who makes mistakes, and he said his conduct was deeply moronic and indefensible. So what can you say from there? I mean, that's how he answered the question. He said, "I didn't think other people could see me," but he admitted that was no defense. He apologized to his wife, his family, and the people who were on the Zoom call that day. Yeah, his colleagues from the New Yorker that were all on the phone call. He said he's done therapy and public service, you know, working in a food bank and, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, moving forward, he's going to be a regular back on CNN. Proof that you can come back again, I suppose. Right? So CNN took a much different approach than the New Yorkers, because the New Yorker decided to fire him, and he said he believed, and of course when he was asked about that, that that was excessive punishment. He said, "But look, that's why they don't ask the criminal to be the judge in his own case." So again, his answers were pretty spot on, and he moves forward from that. Very crazy, some of the things that have happened on Zoom and things people were caught doing. I can't understand how you can't realize the camera's on, period. But we won't go deep on that one. How about this story about a nun and her gambling habit? A now-retired nun is going to plead guilty to wire fraud and money laundering charges. She stole $835,000 for gambling and other personal expenses from the Southern California school that she ran. So this was a 79-year-old Mary Margaret Cooper, who violated her vow of poverty, obviously, during a 10-year period where she pocketed tuition money, fees, and charitable donations that were intended for St. James Catholic School. This is a school in Torrance, California. She was principal for 3 decades. Wow. So she has an attorney. The attorney says that the client says she's very remorseful. When she was confronted, she accepted responsibility for what she did. She cooperated with the law enforcement and with law enforcement and archdiocese, proving again, what did Jeffrey Toobin say? Flawed human beings. So it's just very strange to hear that nun stealing almost, what, $1 million? And she, you know, she dedicated her life to helping others and educating children, and somehow she had this very bad gambling habit, which doesn't really wash with the other side of things. Now, what's interesting, she was charged with the one count of wire fraud, one count of money laundering. Federal prosecutors, you know, that's a federal thing, so she's going to be arraigned July 1st under the agreement she pleaded to, pleaded guilty, it carries the charges, which prosecutors say carry a maximum 40-year prison sentence. So that's, she's going to do serious, you know, jail time. She was a signatory on a pair of credit union accounts, a school savings account, and a convent account to pay for living expenses for herself and other nuns at the school. So she diverted the checks and the cash intended for the school into 2 accounts she controlled to pay for the expenses that the order would not have approved, much less pay for, including that large gambling you know, nut that she had, that she incurred at casinos and certain credit card charges too, which she was probably in the hole and trying to dig out of it, is what I'm thinking, because, you know, how often did she go and how quickly did that all add up? Well, the answer is, if you're trying to win stuff back, the house always wins. So who knows, you know, how long that period was. It sounds like it was pretty big a pretty long period, actually. All right, I mentioned at the beginning of this when we were talking about numbers, and this is, segment is called We Can Count. Home equity grew by $2 trillion in the first quarter. $2 trillion. So home prices have been on a just absolute hot tear this year. We've talked about it. And home equity, the difference between the value of your home and how much you owe on your mortgage, rose by 20%. Look at yours and tell me what you think. So homeowners with mortgages, about 62% of properties saw an equity gain of nearly $2 trillion. That's the number from last year. An average gain of $33,400 per borrower, right? So that's what's happened. The gains have become pretty important, I would say, and it boosted consumer confidence in U.S. housing. I mean, that's how this all works. Across the U.S., home prices increased 11.4% this year through March. That's according, by the way, this data to the National CoreLogic Home Price Index, so that's where that comes from. It's part of that soaring demand. Soaring demand for a record low supply of homes has caused that blitz in home prices over the past year. It's crazy, right? You know, somebody said to me, we were talking about values of houses in my neighborhood, just our neighbors, we were having a conversation, and they said, you got a house? Yep, that's it. Like, basically, does it have walls? Is it standing? People want houses, and depending on where you live, I said this the other night, they're not even looking at them. You know, they're just doing a FaceTime, and they're getting the house, which is crazy to me. If you've ever bought any kind of a house, I don't care what price range, you know, that whole idea of having the inspection and going through, and then the things that you don't see on the surface that then come forward because the inspector finds them, and you don't end up getting the house because of whatever the said problem is. Boy, to me, that seems like you wouldn't want to take that risk. I mean, I can't imagine that you would want to take that risk. It just seems absolutely crazy. All right, let's give you a happy story because I like happy endings. An 18-year-old and her baby who were kidnapped in Texas have been found safe. That's in Corpus Christi. That's what the police there say. There was an Amber Alert. You know, you get these Amber Alerts. I get them on my phone all the time. A clear alert also issued for the pair by the Texas Department of Public Safety. That happened on Tuesday night. Jezebel Zamora and her baby, Zaylee, were located Thursday and morning and reunited with their family. Police say a man identified as Christian Garcia was taken into custody on outstanding warrants for murder, aggravated robbery, two counts of aggravated kidnapping. He was being processed, and it's unclear if he had an attorney or any of that kind of stuff. He was picked up on Wednesday, charged with the kidnapping and the two additional warrants, too, for drug possession. It's just a crazy thing that happened. And apparently, he entered the house without consent, grabbed them against their will. People thought they were in serious danger. I mean, this is a kidnapping, and pretty scary. Pretty scary when you start getting those Amber Alerts too, because you think, I mean, honestly, what's really great is that so many people have been saved because of those Amber Alerts. And in her case, I think she definitely felt like, she was saved because of that Amber Alert, because according to the reports, it was incredibly frightening what happened and how he barged in, and there was really nowhere to hide, nowhere to go. I mean, he was taking them, and that was that. And again, that's the beauty of the Amber Alert and how significant it has become. And what a great, you know, what a great tool it's been for law enforcement, too. And people don't realize this, but Amber Alert, you know, the whole idea of this alert system was that if somebody's kidnapped, if a child is missing, etc., that this is the Child Abduction Emergency Alert System, and it's become huge in the United States. And since 1996, it's been around. All right, that's that with odds and ends of doing the whole thing of We Can Count. So stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
In our virtual green room right now, Bonnie Faust is with us, and she's written a book called Orrin Bunny Meets Essie Bear, a story of Essie Frances Thayer Bear and how she teaches Orrin to tap away the mad. This is really so significant if you know about tapping. Great for children, and honestly, I've seen the miracle that how it's worked for adults too. So this book taps into something that I think is very, very important. Bonnie, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So first of all, let's talk about tapping for people who don't know what that is.
Okay, you can also call it EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And if they were to Google EFT, they would find tapping everywhere. My daughter even just showed me TikToks where kids are tapping to music and all kinds of things. So tapping has become pretty mainstream. And the whole concept is instead of acupuncture, it's acupressure. And you're just tapping certain meridian points on your face and body. And that just kind of breaks up that energy issue.
Yeah, so in breaking up the energy issue and in talking about your character, so let's dive into the book. What made you decide to write this book?
Well, I was a special ed teacher for over 20 years, and I taught from preschool special ed all the way through up to high school. And one of the things that I always found was that emotional connection kids had could prevent them from learning. And so what I did is I taught them how to tap, and then we would also tap. So we would tap on if they were getting angry or frustrated or upset. And then we'd also tap on their beliefs. For example, when it was time for reading and I was teaching second grade and I knew these kids didn't want to do this. So we would tap and say things like, Mrs. Faust is going to make me read again today. Yep, I really hate reading. And as we tapped on that, then we put in the positive, like, but I read pretty good yesterday. I guess I can really read okay, you know. So it would just kind of break the ice and just kind of get them feeling good about themselves.
Yeah, and the characters, developing the characters, a bunny, a bear, is that because of our, I mean, I like bunnies and bears. I think people are, they're animals, different kinds, but that we're attracted to.
Right, right. And I've always wanted to have a bear for tapping. The thing is, like, kids are drawn to bears. So I think the bear just kind of came out of my world. And so I put hearts on her. And so she's got hearts on her face where you're supposed to be tapping. So you can tap on her, literally on Essie, or you can tap on yourself, or you can tap on yourself for your child. So it's really interesting. So it acts as a surrogate for the tapping. And Oren Bunny just seemed to be right, as she's named after my grandson. And so, it just worked well.
What do you hope that kids get out of reading the book? And I think we're talking about it, but what do you hope they get out of it?
Oh, well, one of the things I really see is that not just kids, but everyone in our world right now is very stressed. And they were stressed when I wrote this book, but it's even become more so with COVID and everything happening around us. And so with this tapping, I just want to help children learn a skill that would kind of give them relief from some of the stress and anxieties and frustrations and overwhelm that they're feeling right now. And then as the parents read the books to the younger children, the parents learn how to do this as well. And if you've got an older child, the older child can read the book to the younger child, and they learn how to do this. So it's for everyone, but I kind of geared it for kids because they just need something. They just need help. And this is a social emotional skill that I think is really important.
Yeah, is it tougher as you being a special ed teacher, knowing from the past, now that you, with the learning, is so much of it is remote, that has to make it even harder?
Oh, it is. I didn't have to deal with that as I retired a few years ago, but, oh, and this is for the teachers as well. There are teachers right now who are using tapping. They were using tapping in their classroom prior to this, but now they're also using tapping just to help the kids get settled and kind of get organized for the day before the class begins. You can tap on testing anxieties. You can tap on just being upset, fearful, whatever you need to do. And teachers are picking up on that, and the whole class can tap, even on Zoom. They can all be tapping.
I love that. The reaction to your book, I would imagine, has to be pretty fantastic. I think the more people that get a hold of it, the better, especially in education. But it's so unique.
It is. It is. And in fact, Essie has traveled to all kinds of states. Of course, she's in Illinois where I am, but she's in Wisconsin, Colorado. She went to California, New York, Georgia, Texas, Maine. And recently, she just went to Singapore.
Wow.
Yes. So she's getting out there and people are finding out about her. And it's just a simple, gentle way for folks to give a skill and to learn a skill just to help out a little.
Yeah. I'd be remiss not to ask you this. You're in Shannon, Illinois, and it's a small metropolis, I'm going to call it. And so you must be the big celebrity. You're probably pretty famous, I'm going to say.
Well, actually, not so much. You know how that goes when you're not an expert until you're like 50 miles away kind of thing? But I am the village president of my little town. We only have 800 people. So metropolis is, I think village is more the word for us. But, I know everybody. And everybody knows me, and it's just kind of fun. And what's interesting now is that when I taught tapping years ago, I have kids now who are now adults and parents saying, I made it through college by tapping, or I tapped on this and whatever. And it was just so much fun to hear, you know, how tapping has helped their lives.
And it's easy to learn tapping, right?
Oh, it really is very easy. And in fact, on my website, EssieBear.com, I have some videos that explain what's happening, and I have some videos to kind of show how to deal with Essie and how to teach her. But when the parents order on Essie Bear, I also have a quick reference guide to tapping with Essie. That is just a piece of the card, a little card stock, and they can just take it with them. And Essie is small enough to fit a backpack, so she can travel with you anywhere you go, even to the restaurant, because it's not a matter of if a struggle will happen with the child. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. You know what? Are you prepared as a parent? Because it's going to happen. So it's kind of nice to get some skills under your belt even be prior to that so that you can maintain your calmness as and then help your child regain their calm.
Yeah, well, it's the whole, again, as we started with that, jumping into to tapping and what that's meant to so many people. Will you do a sequel? Will you do another book?
Yes, Effie's going to be doing a lot of things, and I might do more of a guide for different emotions for parents, because sometimes it's nice just to have, they call it a script, where you can just tap the words until you get used to doing it yourself. And what's interesting about when you're working with a child, if your child is having a meltdown, their face will be red, their hands will be clenched, but as you're tapping on yourself, not even on the child, as you're tapping on yourself, you can just see their face go from bright red all the way down to normal. And that it just loses that color. And the more you breathe deeply, they copy you and they breathe deeply. So when we talk about kids watching us, they do all the time. So the more calm a parent can remain, that's going to just ease the child into going back to that calm space.
Yeah. For you, writing this book, it seems like a labor of love, and you're so passionate about it. Was it?
Oh, yeah, it really was. And in fact, after I wrote the book and found the illustrator, and that was such a wonderful experience. I self-published. But then I had to find Essie, so I had to go through all these different bears, pick the one I liked. And what I did is I glued little hearts on her. So one Essie bear has blue hearts. Another one has purple hearts. Another one has green hearts. So that if you've got one family with several kids, they can each have their own Essie bear. Well, then I realized that these hearts aren't going to last if you have a younger child. So for the 6 and under, I had Essie bears made that have embroidered hearts. And they're all red, and then those hearts don't come off. So if you've got an older child who can handle glued on things and won't pick them apart, then my colored bears are great for them.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's brilliant to take that whole tapping phenomenon and how it's helped so many people and really drill it down into this book.
Yes, and I started to learn this in the 1980s, or I'm sorry, the 1990s. So that's when it really came about. So it's been around for a while, but it's just becoming mainstream. People are just beginning to see more of it, and I think that helps them feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, and you said this, and seeing what's, you know, my kids get through college, et cetera, with this, and people are telling these great stories. That's the rewarding part, right, when you hear the success.
Yes, it really is. And just kids need something that they feel safe and secure with. So when I did preschool, I had some kids that would bring Essie in their backpack, and she was always in the locker for them if they needed her. You know, they just knew she was there. And sometimes kids just need to have something, and she's small enough that she can be in that backpack and not be a problem, you know, for anyone.
Yeah. So again, the website is essiebear.com. The book is Oren Bunny Meets Essie Bear, a story of Essie Frances Thayer Bear and how she teaches Oren to tap away the mad. You can get it on Amazon. Bonnie, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Kate, for having me. I appreciate it, and you just be safe.
Thanks, you too. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.